Utah continues to dominate the Pac-12 South after a huge win over Stanford Cardinal. We're breaking it all down on today's episode of Locked On Pac-12 Podcast.
You are Locked On Pac-12, your daily podcast on the Pac-12 Conference. It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Locked On Pac-12 Podcast and making this your first listen of the day. We are free and available on all platforms. I'm your host, Cindy Robinson, former Pac-12 student athlete, ESPN social media specialist. And joining me today is Brian Brown from Locked On Utes. Only fitting as we're going to talk about Utah completely demolishing Stanford today. And yeah, how they're honestly taking the lead in the South and holding on to it really tight. So Brian, first and foremost, congratulations to your Utes, okay? Because at this point, I feel like they're sealing their fate in the South. They're making it very known that they're not giving up that position. 52-7 win against the Stanford Cardinal, a team that has upset Oregon, the only team to beat Oregon this season, along with, I know they have another upset in there, and I can, oh, USC? They beat USC. But that was considered an upset at the time that they beat them. It's not necessarily an upset at this moment, but at the time that they beat them, that was an upset as well. Sorry, Trojans. I tried to rep for you today, but it was a rough weekend. Nonetheless, though, Utah is in a very good space right now. Some separation between them and other Pac-12 South opponents and making themselves some real contenders for that Pac-12 championship. For you, Brian, watching your Utah Utes week in and week out, are you seeing a vast improvement from each game?
Massive. This game was really their pinnacle. I think they're really playing the style of play that Utah has always wanted to play. They're running the football effectively. The defense was efficient, especially in the run game, which has been a concern in the past. Now, a lot of that is just due to the opponent, right? Stanford was hurt. And I'm not saying, like after the game, like, they were hurt, like, we lost, blah, blah, blah.
No, no, no. They had some real injuries they're dealing with.
Yeah, they had seven guys, I think, total that were out, including Tanner McKee, who is an absolutely stellar quarterback. You can see the difference with him on the field and with him off of it. And it's an offense that's never really found a groove. You know, Austin Jones, the heralded running back, has been injured all year long. We saw one really good play out of him. They really haven't had their full cadre of wide receivers. It's been a really tough go. You know, EJ Smith has been okay as a running back. We saw a lot of Isaiah Sanders, the transfer from Air Force, at the QB position in the run game. It wasn't that effective. So it's just, you know, it was a tough game for Stanford, but this was exactly what I think Utah was looking to do. Is they wanted to come in and they wanted to establish themselves as the monsters in the trenches, and they did just that.
It's easy to say, like, oh, okay, well, Stanford hasn't been playing well and they had this, you know, people missing. But it's fair to say that Utah did what a team should do in that position, right? Even if you're playing a lesser team or if you're playing a team that doesn't have all its pieces, you don't let up on them. And they didn't play down to what they were, you know, being faced with. They played up and beyond. That score shows it alone. But even seeing the performances by those three running backs, Tavion Thomas, TJ Pledger, and Micah, last name?
Makai Bernard. Yeah.
Makai.
Yeah, it tricks you up a little bit. We call him Bye Bye Makai to kind of like
get. I had no idea. He does not spell it like a Makai. I didn't expect that.
And that's not where the uniqueness about him ends. He's a very unique kid, very fun kid to talk to, incredibly enthusiastic. Much like when he demonstrated as he blocked the Stanford DB out of bounds, I think it was close to a good 10 yards, taking his teammate Jaden Redding, the kicker, into the net along with the Stanford DB. That was just one of the fun moments of the game, you know, other than the multitude of scores that Utah put up in the first half. But it was kind of a weird game. Stanford came out in the third quarter there, had a drive, put up a touchdown. We thought we were going to see some life. And then Utah came right back and drove it down the length of the field. And Stanford did hold them on downs in the end zone, which continues to be a concern, I think, if you're a Utah fan or a Utah player, that this is now happening, you know, against Stanford and also against Oregon State twice. So you got to be punching the ball in on the goal line, but it really didn't interrupt anything in the grand scheme of it. Utah walks away with a 52-7 victory, and it was convincing.
All right. Coming up next, Brian and I will break down, we'll give a game preview into Utah's next opponent. Probably won't get as much of an exciting game, but nonetheless, you never know. It's Pac-12. You just never know, right?
It's That's crossover what? Week for me and Michael Luke. That's going to be super
that
exciting.
That will be so exciting, right? Okay, so coming up next, we'll discuss that. All right, college football fanatics, have you heard about Prize Picks? Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Prize Picks is a leader in college sports daily fantasy. They offer more college football props than anyone in the world, and they offer all the star players of the Power Five, as well as mid-major players that you may not have ever even heard of. Prize Picks offers any prop you can think of, from yardage to touchdown, even interceptions thrown. All of the users that deposit and use the promo code will receive a 100% instant deposit matchup to $100. Just be sure to use promo code LOCKEDON. You pick 2 to 5 players and an over and under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. And it's just you versus the projected numbers. Prize Picks allows mixed sports entries. Basically, you can take the over on LeBron, combine it with the under on Mahomes, and all in the same entry. So it's kind of rare. Can't do that too many other places. This is why you should check out the award-winning app. It's available on the App Store and the Google Play. Any minute, 60 seconds or less, it's literally that easy. Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals, so don't hesitate. Check out PrizePicks.com and use promo code LOCKEDON. You can go to the App Store and download the app today. PrizePicks is daily fantasy made easy. Okay, Brian. So we were talking about Utah's upcoming schedule last week, and this week they're facing a matchup that's not necessarily a team that anyone was really worried about all season long, and that is the Arizona Wildcats. Wildcats did obtain their first win of the season, first win in 20 games, actually. Let's give them that. Breaking a 20-game losing streak against Cal in a 10-7, was it 10-3 win? 10-7? 10-3.
Yes.
Why am I getting this wrong?
10-3
win. Yes, because I know the only lone touchdown was by the Wildcats. Mm-hmm. They were tied at 3-3. It was an ugly game, I'll say that. Or it was an ugly game, I'll say, for offenses, because no one was able to score. The defenses were showing up, and you were seeing, obviously, right? There was no score. So I think both teams were kind of shooting themselves in the foot, but Arizona was able to find a way to get their first win, give them some confidence, the moment they had been waiting for. That's Jed Fish's first win as a Pac-12 head coach. Like official one. I think they said his record is 2-0 against Cal coach because he was the interim head coach at UCLA. UCLA and won against Cal. So that is his luck against Cal is just there, right? It was meant to be. Against the rest of the Pac-12, not so much. Nonetheless, they're riding on a high right now. And I will still like to point out that even though they've been struggling to capture a win, they have been playing really well against some tough opponents, except for that game against Colorado. That's probably the worst game that we've seen them play. But otherwise, their matchups against Oregon, against some other teams that escaped me, Stanford, I want to say. Have they played Stanford?
No, USC.
USC.
Mm-hmm. Played BYU.
UCLA.
BYU. Trying to put in the Pac-12.
Yeah, my name is – I mean, it's hard to keep up with every team and every – once the week passes, it's like out of sight, out of mind. But nonetheless, I'm trying to say is that Arizona is not a team that's going to easily just roll over. Utah's still going to have to work for this game, even if they look at them as a lesser opponent. for you, I'll just say this now. We all know that Arizona has a struggle with their quarterback situation. It was Will Plummer, who played this weekend and got them the victory. But they have had the balancing act of trying to figure out who was going to be the starting quarterback. Jordan McLeod was taking over and then got injured against UCLA and had to fall back, basically. So usually that is their main issue, the quarterback situation. If Will Plummer can put together a solid performance and that offense can really turn some things around and that defense stands stronger than what they may have been because they've been a little tricky here and there, you might have a game on your hands. But that's a lot of ifs and a lot of things that have to come into play for Arizona.
I think Arizona is still looking for things offensively that work. Plummer had a 49.7 QBR. I'm sure you and Michael Luke will talk about that and break it down. And Michael, as always, will have excellent thoughts. They have some talent on this roster. You know, I'm a big fan of Stanley Berryhill. I like what he does. Jamari Joyner, Jalen John, players that I've enjoyed watching. Tavian Cunningham. There are a lot of opportunities in this offense for guys to run the football. And I think that's played in their favor. But they still haven't found consistency on offense, and that showed up in almost every single game. They had Washington on the ropes at one point in time, let them get back into it. Like you said, the defense still thinks it's Halloween because it's either trick or treat every other series. And that's just a really tough matchup against a team like Utah right now that's just playing so consistently and even-keeled. Now, I think the red flag, if you're a Utah fan, is that the line on this game is 23.5. That's a lot. That's a big line, especially coming after a Friday night game on the road at Stanford. You will be back home, and it's 12 noon kick at Rice-Eccles Stadium. So you would have to think that Utah will come out ready to play and want to just put this one to bed early as well. But those are always the trap games that you have to look out for.
Yeah, with it being so late, and like you said, it is. I could see it clearly being a trap game. A lot of people will easily think this is an automatic win, right? No question. But the moment you start downplaying an opponent or thinking lesser of an opponent, it comes up and sneaks you. And like I said, Arizona has not been playing terribly. They just have not been able to close out games. Mm-hmm. So we've seen some competitiveness from them. And you never know what getting that first win can do for their self-esteem and confidence and how that translates on the field.
Yeah, Arizona's going to look at what everybody else has done against Utah's defense, and they're going to try and manufacture yards on the ground. They got 202 against Cal. You know, I think Cal's a better rush defense than Utah currently. Now, Utah did a really good job against Stanford, so give them their flowers for that game. But we need to see it on a more consistent basis. I think the big matchups are Devin Lloyd versus this Arizona offense and a inexperienced QB. He was magnificent against Stanford. Interception for a touchdown. I think he had a fumble recovery, multiple sacks, multiple TFLs. He was, you know, we've started calling him the Roy Kent of Utah football. He's there. He's here. He's there. He's everywhere. And he really was that on Friday night. So this is a game that, as I'm trying to break things down and look at schemes and whatnot, I think Utah matches up favorably defensively against that Arizona offense. Now, Utah on offense might have their hands full with that Arizona scheme a little bit. It is somewhat similar to what they've struggled with in the past, just in getting a line of push at the line of scrimmage. And so we'll have to see. This offensive line has been really good as of late, having a lot of sack, I believe, in three games now. So they are both in the rush game and in the, you know, pass protection game doing really well. Cameron Risings had two so-so outings recently after being kind of just the end-all be-all for the Utah offense. Maybe that's a good thing that he's not having to win games for him right now.
Yeah, because then he can rely on his other teammates. I feel like football is one of those sports. It's a team sport. It's, you know, it's clear as day there. But on top of that, a lot of teams do rely on a star, right? Like we saw that with USC losing Drake London, and now that offense is kind of you know, struggling a bit. We saw it against ASU. It was not pretty. But when you rely on one teammate and then you lose that teammate, or they just don't show up for one game, then everything crumbles. And you don't want to have that be an issue, especially trying to be a championship team. A championship team has multiple athletes that they can depend on and multiple stars that will show up when necessary. And if not stars, role players, right? Players that know, like, okay, this is my time to step up. I can fill in this spot when this person's lacking or whatever the case may be. So that may be something that Utah's going to work on in the next few weeks as they get closer and closer to possibly making that championship game.
I think they might have a star coming up with Tavion Thomas. He's rushed for 8 touchdowns in the last 2 games. He's been just an absolute spark plug for that offense. He had, I believe it was 170-some-odd yards for Utah as well. Yeah, 177 on 20 carries. So he actually, surprisingly enough, had the lowest average of the 3 backs to go over 100 yards. TJ Pledger's 26.8 yard average, slightly misleading because 96 of it came on one play. Mekhi Bernard, 9.2 average. So their star is without a doubt Tavion, but those other running backs are stepping in and doing some really good things. All of them are effective in the pass game as well. So that's, I think, when you're talking about a star, that's where Utah's building towards, is Tavion Thomas being the star and then Cam Rising being there to manage the game.
Okay. Well, still to come, we're going to break down more of the Pac-12 rankings and where we're standing after week. Is this week 10? After week 10, going into week 11, it's coming down to the wire, guys. You know, it's almost time for the championship in Vegas. But for those of you...
Vegas,
yes. For those of you that may be looking for a new snack, look no further. Built Bar is the one for you, okay? If you haven't tried Built Bar by now, you are missing out. They say it's a protein bar, but it doesn't taste like one at all. You have to try one of these amazing bars yourself for you to believe it. Most protein bars are chalky, waxy, just plain hard to choke down, but a Built Bar is soft, covered in 100% real chocolate, and basically when you bite into it, you'd swear you were eating a candy bar. So put the actual candy bars away and go ahead and grab you a Built Bar. You can head to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your first order. Here's the benefits to Built Bar. They are low carb, low calorie, low fat, low sugar, and high in protein. So super healthy on top of being super tasty. And it comes in multiple flavors from raspberry, cherry, coconut almond, salted caramel, double chocolate. It's about 9 or so flavors with a specialty flavor dropping every now and then. So make sure you keep in touch with everything going on with Built Bar by checking out the website, builtbar.com, and get your order. That's LOCKED15 for 15% off your first order. All right. So, Brian, we are, you know, dwindling down, like I said. Time is ticking. Basketball is getting ready to start and take over. But before that happens, we still have to get to the championship game and bowl games and all of that. So Utah is now officially bowl eligible. Soft clap for you guys. Are you the first team, or Oregon's already been bowl eligible too, right?
I think Oregon's a game or two ahead in the win column. So, yeah.
Yeah. So I think you two are the two teams that are bowl eligible. I think there was talks about Washington State creeping up into there. You know, sorry, I had to mention my Cougs. They didn't get to this last weekend, but they're still number one in my heart.
But until next week.
That's
I just know your standards. I know your standards for your football team. You have so high expectations, and you expect excellence.
I do. I'm always going to love them, though. I'm always going to love them. Anyways, we'll talk about the Cougars in my next episode. Needless to say, right now, the Pac-12 South, we said, it seems like a clear vision of who is going to take that division. And my money is on the Utes right now. For my friend Brian here, I hate to say it, you guys, because I hate, you know, giving him that one up. But they are leading by a huge margin right now. They are up, I guess it's only one game, but it's like 1-2, because like even if they were to lose a game right now and have the same conference record as ASU, they have the win over ASU. So they're kind of up 2 on ASU in theory. But ASU is making a comeback. They're trying to stay strong. They just beat USC over the weekend, and that hurt my little heart somewhat, but it's okay. I think I'm kind of giving up on USC being a team that's going to fight in the Pac-12 South.
They're they have as well.
Yeah, for sure. They're pretty much out of it. At this point, it looks like UCLA might have tapped themselves out of it as well. They're only sitting at 3-3 for their conference record, while Arizona State's at 4-2, and Utah is at 5-1. This is their in-conference record, guys, not overall. And then Oregon, it's actually the same exact thing up north. Oregon is at 5-1. Washington State is at 4-2. And Oregon State is in Washington are both at 3-3. But Oregon State has the win up on Washington. So, yeah, I don't know. I think if somehow Oregon can lose a game or two, my Cougars could pull this off.
That well, so you need some help, definitely. Washington didn't give you any. What a big surprise there!
Right.
You'll need some help from Washington State themselves. Maybe some help from Oregon State, or maybe some help from Utah. As it stands currently, Utah is so ESPN's FBI, the Football Power Index, has them ranked 15th. They have a 31% chance to win out, so that's pretty solid. They have a 98.3% chance to win the division, like you've been saying. The lead is substantial. They have a 56% chance to win the conference. Thoughts?
This is for who? Oregon?
Utah.
Utah.
Mm-hmm.
If they're facing Oregon in the championship, I'm torn because the side of me that wants to see Pac-12 on a national scale wants Oregon to win, right? Wants Oregon to make that college football playoffs, show that we belong in national talks and that we can present teams that can be competitive with the other conferences. But the other side of that loves a good underdog story, the good Cinderella moment. Would love to the Utes do that, especially after the year they've had with the tragedies. And just that would be a moment of overcoming that to knock them down, right? Other side of me is like, my Cougars can be all pandemic. So I have faith in my Cougars, okay? If it can be Oregon this weekend, just saying. Forget your youths, it's going down. We coming for that rematch against y'all in the championship.
I'll take those odds still.
With the new coup, have you seen the way we've been playing?
Yeah, I have. I also saw Utah hang almost 500 yards rushing on Stanford on Friday night on the road.
That's Stanford. That's not Cougars.
Right.
Okay, don't get it twisted. Y'all barely beat us. Don't play. Okay.
Real football teams wear maroon, not cardinal, right?
There you go. That's what I'm saying. You get it? It's crimson, actually. It's crimson, but...
Close.
It's a crimson. It's crimson and gray. Just for your future reference. If you're gonna talk about us, just know it's crimson gray. Either way, though, I do like those odds for Utah. I think that the way they're playing is the same exact way we were describing ASU when they were leading the South, how they were dominant, the team to beat in the Pac-12. And now I think Utah has taken that reign and is continuing to improve week in and week out versus, you know, decreasing like we saw with ASU. Hey, if you maintain, if you can take out Arizona this weekend, I know it sounds crazy, but just in case, if you got to take out Arizona, remember that. You can't look past anybody. So you can take out Arizona.
They've got to get 2 of 3. Like there's nothing right on the table for them right now. They are favored by about 93% to beat both Arizona and Colorado by those same metrics. 65% chance to beat Oregon. So that's really kind of a toss-up game. And like you said, that's going to be the game where everybody's going to look at that in 2 weeks and be like, okay, what's really the best move here? And I think everybody, assuming that Oregon does handle business against those pesky Cougs from Pullman,
Did you just call us pesky? See, now we got to fight because you're really coming at me really foul. Like, I'm not sitting right here, a whole cougar. Okay, like, what?
Would courageous cougars? Would that work better? Courageous carnivorous?
Resilient. Whatever. You ain't got to do the alliteration. Resilient, okay?
Listen, I got jokes. That's it. So
competitive cougars.
Anything else is off the table cougars. At this point.
You hear me?
But, you know, assuming that Oregon does beat him, which is assuming a lot, right? And we know what happens when you assume. That puts them in the driver's seat both for the Pac-12 championship, but also for a college football playoff spot. And I think as much as it pains me to think, like, I should root against the Utes, there is some validity to having a team from the Pac-12 conference represent at the playoff and possibly move on to a national championship.
Yeah.
To say that. Like, I don't want to have to do that because last weekend was one of the craziest weekends we've had in the Pac-12. It was absolute chaos. You had Cal, who had half their starters gone.
Yeah. Well, time will tell. That's all we can say. Time will tell. And we can't look past what we have in front of us. And what we have in front of us is Utah versus Arizona this Saturday, and Washington State versus Oregon this Saturday that we will break down and talk more about in another episode this week. So thank you for joining me, Brian. As usual, we will see you again in a few days, I'm sure. One of these days on the podcast this week.
Can't wait.
Right. Can't wait. Thank you all for making Locked On Pac-12 Podcast your first listen of the day. You can follow along on Twitter at @LO_Pac-12, at Locked On Utes. It's so confusing. It's so many Twitters. At Locked On Utes. And then at Brown Bear SLC and @_CindyRobinson. And then follow along on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Locked On Utes as well. And then go ahead and make one of your second listens of the day. The other conference shows we have Locked On SEC, Locked On ACC, and Big 12. As seasons getting closer to the end and closer to bowl games and championships, they're breaking down all the latest in those conferences so you can get all your news you need from them. And then as basketball season starts, they'll be talking about basketball very heavy as well. So make sure you check those out. And other than that, stay locked on the Pac-12 on the Locked On Network.